Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fan Sided Network and FinFanatic.com. Paul, one day in the books. We had a great time last night with our live draft show with everybody. Thank you for everybody who stopped by. And for those who watched the first round here, everybody knows we've got some talented players here heading into day two. The Dolphins have picks 36, so they'll be picking 4th and 18th here to start the second round. So they've got picks 36, 50, as well as 81 here in the third round. And to confess, Paul, I actually like day two more than day one. I might be weird on that, but I really enjoy day two because the picks come off the board so quickly and you never know who anybody's going to take.
Yeah, I'm partly with you on that. I mean, I do love seeing the round one stuff, seeing some of the surprises, seeing who stays and who gets whiffed on. I love the fact that my top Dolphins board still has a number of folks left on it, but I'm going to park on the day one stuff real quick because in reality, I think Miami did overall. Yes, we all wanted Kyle Pitts. Yes, I wanted Micah Parsons badly. But they really knocked it out of the park here. It sounds like, in listening to Pete Schrager talking to his sources, the Dolphins basically got the guy they wanted, and that's part of why they came back up to 6, and Jalen Waddle, who they had ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. And then to get arguably, or not even arguably, the best edge rusher in the draft in Phillips, who if they can work through the injury issues, is a steal at 18. They did a very good job, and they added a couple of future draft picks in the process.
Hey, Dolphins fans. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it is friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, we've been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We are offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE15 at earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. Follow on social media at The Danette May and at Earth Echo Foods.
Yeah, that's how I think it has to be looked at, where the Dolphins turn the third overall pick into Jalen Waddle and a first and a third rounder. So I think when you judge it that way, it's overall, it was a very good move. You know, I had a few guys ahead of Jalen Waddle, but not too many. I mean, Jalen Waddle was 6th overall on my Dolphins board. He was 6th overall on your Dolphins board. So
he went six,
absolutely. And Jalen Phillips too, we were even higher on. He was in the top 9 in our boards, you know, because yes, he's got the concussion history here, and that's going to be a concern or something to look out for here moving forward. But to me, he's a clear D-end one and a otherwise top 10 pick, if not for the concussion issues. I'd rather have somebody saying, okay, if he stays healthy, I think he'll be great. He's got all the tools. Instead of saying, well, if he turns into a player that he wasn't in college, then he'll be great. Like I'd probably be saying with Quiddy Pay or Jason Oway.
Yeah, you know, Oway's the weirdest one out of all of them. I mean, I don't want to park on him too long, but he's the one that didn't have the production that I think in the right system at the NFL level is going to just shoot through the roof. I don't feel like he's got as low of a floor as most people might think based on just looking at his statistics. But, I mean, it's I want to go back, though, to Phillips for a second. You know, Travis tweeted out earlier today that I believe it was in once every six pass rush snaps, he put pressure on the quarterback, which is insane numbers for a pass rusher. I mean, it's I think CK put out there that that's, you know, Cam Wake territory, which, good Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited about both guys here. And now we get to day two. Paul, we're going to be doing our live show again. I look forward to it. And I'll issue you a challenge here for day two, where before the picks come in, we will guess who the pick is going to be, and we'll keep score. Here's a another part of it. If you guess a certain player is going to be picked at that spot, you can't guess him again for five more picks.
Ooh.
That way, because we did this last year, and I remember every pick, it got to a point where it's like, I've got to say Yeader Gross Matos again.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I am not going to guess a wide receiver when the Packers are on the board.
Jeez. Eric Stokes was a pick a cornerback. I mean, come on. Like, I
was talking to the Finn Troopers earlier, and they were watching with a Packers fan, and apparently the Packers fan they were watching with had the exact same reaction that I did, if that tells you anything.
Eric Stokes and Alex Leatherwood were funny picks yesterday, I tell you what. But, Paul, let's get to these day two prospects here. So, you know, and when you see an Eric Stokes and an Alex Leatherwood and a Peyton Turner go in the first round, that naturally shoves talent down to the bottom here. So, or down to the second round, and that's what we have here. So, this 36 overall pick acquired from the Texans again from the Laremy Tunsil deal, the gift that keeps on giving here, looking like a very, very valuable pick. So, Who are your how does your board look here for day two for the Dolphins?
Well, I was going to do a specific day two board, but I went back to our top 36 Dolphins board. And when I look at that, I've got, God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, like 16 guys left that were on my top 36 Dolphins board, which is insane. And you know, they're not all at the bottom end of the list either. So the thing that I actually want here, and I'm going to go back to something you put out on Twitter earlier today. It's yes, I love Javonte Williams. Yes, Javonte Williams is on this list for me, but BPA trumps need is something that you said earlier today. And I may be paraphrasing a little bit there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have said all throughout this process that there are so many guys on day two that I think are impact players in rounds two and three. And some of whom will slide into day three, which I think is great. The thing I want first and foremost today is a few more picks in rounds two and three. It's even if we have to move down from 36 and miss on Javonte, because you can possibly turn that into, you know, one of the Moores at wide receiver to come in and pack that wide receiver. And Boogie Basham, Javonte may slide, Richie Grant. You've got Creed Humphrey and Quinn Miners on the board, both of whom, yes, they're listed as a center, but you could end up taking both of them and completing your offensive line because Quinn Miners, I love him at guard too. You know, it's you've got Tevin Jenkins available that can come in and help complete that line. You've got Sam Cosmi, And number eight on my board, who would slide down a bit now that we took Jalen Waddle, was Rashad Bateman, who I believe is still sitting out there.
So looking at pick 36, it's going to come up pretty quickly here. You know, the fourth pick here on day two. Who is the one guy, if the Dolphins don't trade down, that you're hoping is there? Is Javonte at the top of your list?
I'm going to say Javonte is number two on my list behind Creed Humphrey.
Okay.
Yes, I want a running back. I'm not going to underrate Myles Gaskin. I think you can still have a dominant running back position, especially with the receiving core that we have now, with Myles Gaskin platooning with somebody else later on, like an Elijah Molden out of Louisiana Lafayette, like a Ramondre Stevenson. I think Michael Carter and Kenneth Gainwell will still be there later on. You know, so there are running backs that I think can come in and get the job done. But center is still the biggest gaping hole on this team.
Yeah, and the center hasn't been taken yet. So you've got Creed Humphrey, you've got Quinn Meinerz. Landon Dickerson isn't really our cup of tea because of all the injury problems. He is still on the board, too.
And I misspoke. Bateman is not available. I forgot to highlight him on my
Yeah, mind. You're right. Yeah, Bateman. I'm drawing a blank now.
Ravens.
He did. He went to the Ravens. You're right. And again, I'll say what I said before is I love Elijah Moore. I'm not taking another receiver because it very simply, I just don't know where you're going to put him. I mean, I don't want to draft an Elijah Moore and just destine him for failure because he's going to be the fifth or sixth receiver on this team. Like wide receiver is a selfish man's position, like I've always said. And I just don't think you can be so deep there that you're limiting somebody like that to a 30 catch season, because that's what's going to happen if you add another receiver here, even though there's a lot of talent left.
Let me ask you this while we're parked on receiver here. Would you trade Devontae Parker for a second this year and a second or third next year?
I don't think Parker would get anything close to that.
Or a third this year. And a third.
I would say Parker would get at best a fourth round pick if we're doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he'd get at least a third. But
I mean, you've got to look at, yes, he had a great season in 2019, but that's really the only great season he's had. And if the Dolphins are willing to trade him, you got to think teams are going to be a little bit worried on that. But if they got a higher return than I thought there, yeah, maybe wide receiver enters the picture. But for me, I'm pretty much – wide receiver is really an afterthought for me throughout the rest of this year. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent out there. And I look at how many players I would really be excited to – if the Dolphins could come away with two of them at 36 and 50. I take a look at that list here, and it goes about 12 deep. So my top guy is Tevin Jenkins at right tackle. I wonder if he's got some back issues that might be a bigger concern than we think. Otherwise, man, oh, having him start at the right tackle spot next to Robert Hunt would be phenomenal. Number two, Trevon Moehrig is on my board. I think he'll be an all-pro safety. Then three is running back Javonte Williams for me. Four is Christian Barmore. And those top four guys, you tell me that you can get two of those four in this draft. I mean, it starts to look like an A-plus draft. Five is Quinn Meinerz, the center from Wisconsin Whitewater. Six, Azeez Ojulari, still on the board. The edge rusher from Georgia, you know, it's not as big of a need, but still he can maybe play a little bit of off-ball linebacker. Seven, Dylan Radins from North Dakota State, the right tackle, very athletic. Number eight, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has fallen a little bit on my board, not too much, but I you know, still a very special hybrid linebacker safety type talent. Then nine is Creed Humphrey. 10, linebacker Jabril Cox. 11, cornerback Elijah Molden. And 12, cornerback Aaron Robinson out of Central Florida. So I see 12 players I would really, really like to have.
Yeah, and Two quick things. Stouffer in our chat basically said that they believe it was Dane Brugler, but they said that some hip issues were pushing Jenkins down in the draft.
Okay, hip, not back. Thank you.
Jimmy Bones brought up that he's still unsettled about our safety situation after the last game against the Bills. I think the biggest issue from that defense in the last game against the Bills has been resolved with the trade for Bernardrick McKinney. And then having Jalen Phillips opposite Emmanuel Ogba. But the safety situation's an interesting one because you've got a handful of things that you can do with some of the players that are out there that can come in and be impact players right away. You've got guys like Wusu Koromoa, who can come in and be that hybrid linebacker safety in that positionless defense. You've got Richie Grant and Trayvon Morig, who can come in and basically, you know, fly all over the place, be a switchblade in that defense, you name it, and coexist with some of the players that we have. And then you've got, you know, a little bit later on, possibly even in the third round, a guy like Divine Diablo, who I've gotten to like more and more as the draft's gotten closer. So you've got a lot of options at that safety position, or even at that hybrid safety linebacker positionless tweener that can come in and really impact a game, which is the biggest thing you want from a defender.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the safety spot, I see several good ones on the board here. I mean, Trayvon Morig, we've talked about. Then you've got, you know, Javon Holland from Oregon, who I could see Brian Flores liking a lot because of his ability to play both in the slot, single high safety, all over the place. I don't think he's special in any area. I think he's more of a Brandon Jones-like prospect, where he's good across the board, very smart. Jamar Johnson from Indiana is an interesting guy. 6'2", 205, but plays a lot faster than you would think here for his listed size. Richie Grant, your boy there, you know, even though I've got him as my fifth safety, there's really not much separating my second safety from the fifth. So, yeah, he's another guy. Also, James Wiggins is a sleeper, but I think he could be had a little bit later. So, yeah, man, I'm excited.
I'm telling you right now.
There's a lot of talent.
I want the belly today. It's, you know. Quinn Miners is sitting out there. I want him today. If he's still there at pick 50, you can't let him go.
I think that'd be great value. I wouldn't even be mad if they took him at 36, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're again, like I've listed off here. I mean, they're 12, 13 players I would be elated with at 36 or 50. I mean, Boogie Basham here. Hey, yeah, they drafted Jalen Phillips yesterday, but you take a look at him and say, hey, not only do we have somebody – what's that?
They can coexist.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, it gives you some flexibility next year, too, because Emmanuel Ogba is a free agent.
Yep, and that's one of the things I've thought about, too, is developing Boogie to be that Emmanuel Ogba replacement, potentially. In addition to that, I know a lot of folks have talked and – we've got to do something along that D line, and there might be a little too much talent to release somebody. I mean, maybe drafting Boogie, you start thinking about, because he's got a little more size than some of these other edge players. Maybe you start thinking about moving Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wilkins is the third best defensive tackle on the roster. You know, Basham would be a best player available pick. I don't think he'll be the guy. I don't think any other defensive end will be. I think they'll go to other positions here. But you never know. I wouldn't hate it there. So, yeah, the big question, too, at running back is, you know, ahead of the Dolphins today, you've got a couple of teams picking. I mean, Jaguars won't take a running back at, you know, with the first pick in the second round. But the Falcons and Jets have big needs of running back. And my fear is that the Jets are going to come away with Javonte Williams here right in front of the Dolphins. And that was the risk of waiting to 36 to address running back.
I'd be more concerned, based on your board, that they're going to come away with Tevin Jenkins or possibly Dylan Raddins for the Jets.
Possible, because Elijah Vera Tucker could play left guard. for them. They've got, playing him next to Mekhi Becton. And yeah, going with a rookie there at right tackle to overtake George Fant. No doubt about that. That's quite a possibility. And I also think it's a possibility too, like you said, that the Dolphins trade down here and accumulate more picks, because after they pick at 81 in the third round, you look at picks between 82 and 234 or whatever they have. They have one pick, and that's at 156. So you bet Chris Greer is going to want to trade down, accumulate some more picks, or at least they're going to start looking in that direction.
Absolutely. There are so many guys that, like I said before, I like in really rounds 2 through 4 that I want more picks. I don't care if we trade a few of these guys. And one of the things that I've seen a few folks say, and I just want to touch on real quick, even though it's not fully draft related, but it could be, is, you know, some folks have gotten upset about the fact that we moved on from Kyle Van Noy so quickly, Shaq Lawson, Eric Flowers, as if they were failures. They weren't. It was more due to the success for Flowers and for KVN. It was more due to the success of these guys developing quicker than thought to replace these stopgaps that Miami brought in last year. And then for Shaq Lawson, he basically, like, it's we didn't need Shaq Lawson as much as we needed Bernardrick McKinney, especially given the fact that we will hopefully be bringing back Jerome Baker next year, but it's not a guarantee. And Bernardrick McKinney is an all-pro inside linebacker. So it's, you know.
He was. I think he may have taken a step back here from, 2 years ago, but he's still a good run defender. I mean, I think he's an upgrade from Landon Roberts, and I think that's kind of the role he'll play. So you don't have to have somebody coming down on the edge as much. You've got Phillips and Ogba out there. I mean, I think that's what's exciting here. And I thought, too, that the Dolphins want to upgrade from Shaq Lawson, because Shaq Lawson was a one-dimensional, crush the left tackle against the run type of player. And I didn't think they were looking for that. They have actually somebody on the edge in Phillips who can win on passing downs and get into the backfield opposite Ogba. It allows you to get to the quarterback with four guys instead of having to blitz all the time. Now, I love how they do blitz, but it's also nice to get to the quarterback with four people.
It is, but it's... I wouldn't want to see them reduce some of the things that we saw with guys like Jerome Baker and Andrew Van Ginkel last year. I want to see them rush the passer, Van Ginkel more than Baker, because I think Baker's at his best when it's a shocking surprise, when this massive individual is in your face at the moment of the snap, because freaking nobody sees him coming. I mean, the best example of that would be look back at the Kansas City Chiefs game last year, where Ogba was chasing Patrick Mahomes, and he did his patented little spin move that you can't throw out of, but you can create space to be able to turn and set your feet, and then you see his head jerk back when he realizes Jerome Baker's right there and chasing him down. And you know, what was it, a 30-yard loss on the play?
Yeah, it was a great play by Baker there. And yeah, I hope they re-sign Baker. Would be interesting to see if they, there's a lot of linebacker depth here kind of in that third round area. If a Jabril Cox fell to 81, it'd be interesting to see if the Dolphins look that way to get themselves some insurance for Jerome Baker in case he leaves after the season here. So yeah, Paul, I mean, I'm really open to anything here, because I think there are, those 12 players that I've got my eye on, I think you can get two of them, and I'm not even against them trading up from 50 to secure two players here. I'm also not against either them trading down and accumulating more picks. It just depends on how the board falls. But what I said too on Twitter is, I'm looking really at my top three. I mean, at the top three guys that aren't Javonte Williams, Tevin Jenkins, Trevon Moehrig, Christian Barmore. If you're telling me that you can get two of those three guys, I'm willing to punt running back and center. And you still may be able to come back at 81 and get Quinn Meinerz or Creed Humphrey if they're there. It's possible they'll probably be gone, but they might be there too. I mean, I've seen a lot of mock drafts with them as third rounders. So, yeah, an exciting day here, Paul.
And to piggyback off what you were just talking about with getting two of these guys, you can still trade down and get two of the top 12 you've got still available. I mean, Miami could realistically come away with three starters out of today at the least. What's that?
Yeah, they could. If they traded down from 50 to get like a fourth round pick and then missed out on one of those guys I was talking about, I wouldn't like that too much, but yeah, I mean,
oh, I'm talking trade down from 36.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right on that. You're definitely right on that. Maybe you don't get Tevin Jenkins or Trayvon Morig if you have your eye on them, or Javonte Williams, but yeah, I certainly understand your point. And yeah, you made a great point too. I forgot to respond to about Shaq Lawson, Kyle Van Noy, and one guy I'm forgetting here too, that was Eric Flowers, that, you know, that were axed here. And yeah, and you get, and that's the value of the draft here is that, you know, if Andrew Van Ginkle doesn't step up, Kyle Van Noy is still on the team. If Zach Sealer doesn't step up, I know the Dolphins didn't draft him, but they signed him for cheap. Shaq Lawson's still on the team. If Solomon Kinley isn't drafted and plays well, Eric Flowers is still on the team. So that's got to be factored into the decision making. Yeah, I know it's frustrating to sign these guys and then cut them a year later, but if not for those players stepping up, they would still certainly be here. So just wanted to point that out here.
And real quick with the Flowers signing, free agency's before the draft. Miami did not know when free agency hit last year that they were going to actually manage to come away from the NFL draft with three starting offensive linemen. I'm sure they knew they'd come away with one or two, but I don't think that they, in any way, shape, or form, knew that they were going to be able to pull off getting some of their guys here, because we know Kinley was their guy with the way they traded up to get him, you know, between Jackson, Hunt, and Kinley. So you absolutely sign Flowers. You don't whiff on the position in free agency just saying, well, I hope I get somebody in the draft.
Absolutely. So we'll get back to it here in about an hour. And, oh, man, just exciting stuff. We all hope you can all join us again here for day two. We're going to go through the whole thing. And unlike some other shows out there, we're going to give instant analysis here, too, about every player. We've talked. We've looked at every player. We're going to see what that means for the Dolphins here, too. So be sure to join us. Follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian Catt, NFL on Twitter, and Paul is Fanatic_pick. If it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side. See you soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.